This is 88.9 KETR and streaming at KETR.org. You're listening to Notably Texan, a program made possible by the people who tune in this radio station. Make a contribution today and keep this programming coming by clicking donate at KETR.org. I'm host Matt Minke, and today it is my pleasure to bring you a discussion with a singer, songwriter, and guitarist out of Austin, who, as it turns out, has been writing songs and performing for many, many years, but she realized that the stars aligned and it was time for her to put out her debut record. And today we'll listen to some cuts from that debut release, Where You Used to Be, and learn all about my special guest, Allison Tucker. Welcome to Notably Texan, Allison. It is a real pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
Hey, congratulations on your debut album, Where You Used to Be. Has this project been a long time in the works?
Probably 40 years.
Okay, that is a long time.
No. That was kind of a great lead-in. I found myself facing a divorce about 5 years ago, and I took the opportunity to reshape my life and become what I really wanted to be. It's kind of my second chance. And I played music when I was about 20 years old here in Austin, and walked away from that, joined corporate America, got married, had kids, and that divorce decree gave me a second chance and a newfound freedom to pick up my guitar and start to play again and record and perform. And just about a month ago, my first album released.
That is fantastic. Well, I mean, that's an amazing story on how this came to be. And I would love to kind of get into more specifics about the record in a little bit. But if you don't mind, I'd love to learn a little bit more about you while I have the chance today. You're based in Austin, or at least adjacent, right? Tell me about your origins. Are you from there originally?
I am technically in Austin. I live in North Austin.
Okay.
I was raised in a little bitty town in West Texas called Odessa.
Oh, yeah. That's not that little bitty.
Well, it's smaller now than when I lived there. You know, the oil business goes up and down and up and down. My father was a roughneck in the oil field, and my mother was a nurse, and I was a misfit just dying to get out.
Understood. Well, so did you get into music pretty early in life?
I got my first guitar, my sister bought me. She was, I was living with her one summer in Hawaii on a military base. And she picked up a $50 PX guitar, no name guitar, and gave it to me to play that summer while I was there. And so I began teaching myself to play and play the songs that my sisters were listening to on the radio and their albums. My sisters are 10 and 13 years older than me, so I didn't have control of the radio or the stereo for many, many years.
Okay. Well, who were some of your favorite music influences? I'm sure you picked up some of them from your sisters and some on your own.
They listened to John Denver and Olivia Newton-John. It was before anybody knew who Olivia Newton-John was. B.W. Stevenson, The Letterman, Bread. I loved Jim Croce. And Jim Croce, I almost wore the album out trying to learn to play his songs. That was my first love.
Allison Tucker is speaking with Notably Texan today here on KETR. So you're just releasing your first album, but you have been writing songs and performing long before this, as you were kind of alluding to earlier.
I did start playing in little bitty dives when I was 18 years old. Just as soon as I ran away from West Texas and landed in Austin, I started, my friends encouraged me to perform. And I wrote funny, kind of folky country and I would perform that. But I started to starve, and I realized that I needed another job, and I didn't know exactly how to do a 6 a.m. start time and a 10 o'clock gig. So
Right.
I took a break from the music that I loved.
Well, that had to have been tough, but I mean, obviously, sometimes you just have to make these decisions for, you know, for survival's sake, I suppose.
Sure. And there was a parental influence. My parents wanted to me their ideas of what was successful was certainly not playing around town with a guitar. So that there was some parental influence. Some I just put it down, and I've missed it for a long, long time. Like I said, about 5 years ago, I got the opportunity to sit down, and oh my gosh, by that time I have tons of material to write about.
Right, you're probably overflowing with ideas and songs by then, I would imagine.
It's a wonderful thing to be able to look back and see a 20-year-old perspective versus now. I could have written a song about the very same thing, and now, today, you have the grace of time, and it changes. It changes, and I'm a better writer, not just because I'm older, not because I've been writing, for years and years and years, but just because my perspective changed.
I don't even write songs, but I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, our perspectives definitely do change as we live and learn and grow, and that's really interesting to hear. So where does your sound kind of fit into the music spectrum? Because I noticed that your album is pretty eclectic in the way the different songs sound.
It did come together as very eclectic. My favorite thing to do when I'm writing songs is I tell stories. So, if I'm sticking a label on it, I guess that would fall into the old ballads. My parents were big country western fans, Marty Robbins and Conway Twitty and Eddie Arnold, and I listened. I loved them. So I guess I fall into an Americana
Okay.
category with a heavy folk and country influence.
It's one of these necessary evils, you know. I don't even we play such a wide range of stuff on Notably Texan that I don't even really necessarily believe in having to put genre labels on songs, but it is just kind of necessary to the business, I suppose. But I was just interested to hear where you feel like you fit in on the spectrum there.
Anytime someone asks me that, I did a crazy thing the other day. I decided that I was going to load several of my songs because I am aware of how different each of the tracks are. I decided I was going to load a few of the songs into an AI to identify the genre. And I got everything from rock to country to, it was just all over the map. And I thought, well, that really helped a lot. It's like
Yeah.
taking an IQ test when you're a little kid. When you grow up, you'll probably do really well in this field. And mine were like all over the map. I could have changed the world or played guitar or been a scientist. And I thought, wow, that didn't help. But
I'm sure it tried its best, but yeah,
sure.
it can't always nail it. We're still perfecting that tech, I would dare say. Well, if you will talk a little bit about the people who you worked with on Where You Used to Be. I believe you had two co-producers.
Mandy Rowden was the initial producer. She, my life has been touched by so many people that have helped me along this path. And Mandy Rowden is the founder and mastermind of a beautiful place here in Austin called Girl Guitar. She teaches all types of voice. Guitar has the opportunity for women to join a band. If you've always wanted to be in a band, She has 6 weeks. Let's be in a band. And I was asking her, how do I do this? What about a studio? What do I need to find? And Mandy said, how about if I produce some of your songs for you? And I was floored. And it was wonderful to work with Mandy, and I loved it. I wasn't on my way to an album. I was on my way to single releases, and she taught me all kinds of things, and her influence. I wouldn't be where I am today without her belief in me and her help.
That's fantastic. Yeah, we love Mandy's music, and I've always been really excited to hear about what she's doing for aspiring artists and women in music there in Austin. So I was excited to see that you worked with her. We've heard tale that we're here at we're on a college campus. We're at East Texas A&M University, and I've heard tale that she actually attended the school for a short time too. So I feel like we've got a mild connection to her also.
She's a powerhouse. She's a powerhouse to connect with. That's for sure. She's got a huge music festival in Lockhart the end of September that's featuring Texas female songwriters. It's going to be over 50 performers for the weekend.
Wow.
And I've been invited to play.
Nice.
It's a great thing. Yeah. Matt Smith on the other extreme, I call him Magic Matt.
Okay.
He's iconic in the music industry. Sheryl Crow, Los Lonely Boys. He's worked with more people than I can even imagine. He provided a sounding board. It's a funny word to use for a recording engineer and a producer. He provided a sounding board that launched me into a confident performing singer-songwriter. His ability and his feedback. He's an old guy out of the Bronx, and he still has that New York, I'm going to tell you just exactly how it is.
Okay.
And we got along fantastically while we worked magic together on this album.
And what about the backing band? Were they musicians that you recruited, or was that more of a studio session artist kind of a thing?
It was the artist that came in, my drummers, was recommended by Matt. Matt played almost every stringed instrument that I have ever heard of, dojos and six-string banjos. And his studio is filled with beautiful, some 100-year-old guitars.
Wow.
He has the ability to play bass and mandolin and dojo and every guitar, like I said, everything that has a string on it, he has the ability to play, and he added all of that talent to my album.
Your album has been described as a memoir in song, and you've maybe touched on this already a little bit, but can you kind of elaborate on that idea that the album is a memoir in song?
Well, in addition to being a songwriter and a performer, I do have a memoir sitting on a back burner that I've started working on. I'm also a writer. The title of the album is Where You Used to Be, and it appears in second person rather than first person because the release of this album was perhaps a line in the sand of where I used to be. Many of the songs cover my history. There are songs that allude to breakup. There are songs that allude to loss. There are songs that refer to the in-between time when you experience grief or loss, where not exactly dying anymore and you're not happy yet. One of my favorite songs was written in about 1985. It's called More Time. And in the song, I talk about seeing my mother and her hair turning gray. And I track time through that song. Even at Gosh, I can't even calculate how old I was at that point. Even at that moment in my life, I was aware of how precious the days are, and especially now. Each day seems to be a little bit more of a challenge. Time is not as taken for granted. I guess I don't take time for granted as much.
It sounds like you really, go into some kind of deep, personal topics for a lot of these songs that you write. So how tough is it for you to isolate just a handful of these songs that you've written for inclusion on a record, especially your first album? I'm sure that it was tough to leave some stuff on the side.
Like many songwriters, with a deep desire to be able to capture the thoughts of the listener. And just if I'm really, really lucky, I manage to put into words what that listener might not have been able to say. That is my goal and my wish. It's that connection where I still look for songs that say what I haven't been able to express, or that make clarity come to a situation. I go, oh, I love that. Of course, as a songwriter, I say, wow, I wish I would have come up with that line.
Yeah. Well, that is a beautiful thing, because that is really one of the powerful things about music and songs, is that they can kind of connect you to things in your mind that you couldn't quite put into words, or maybe people feel like, oh, I'm the only one who feels like this, or and when they hear it kind of portrayed in a song that someone wrote, it really does make that personal connection.
Oh yeah, and some of them are ballsy enough that it's exactly what you wanted to say to somebody else. You
Yeah.
know, I'm everything you're not. And
Right. Well,
one of the songs on the album is my the first song on the album is pretty nervy. And I think that sometimes you can relate to a song and wish, you know. Sometimes you just sing it to somebody else just because you wanted to say it to them all along.
right. Well, thank goodness for songwriters like you for doing that to help some of us out of jams in our minds, you know.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah.
Well, Allison Tucker's with us, by the way, if you're just joining us here on KETR. She just put out her debut album, and I was hoping that you would tell me about Wavemakers Women in Music. I understand this organization played a part in making your record possible.
Another step of kindness. I was the recipient of a $5,000 grant from Wavemakers. Wavemakers is a business that's run by Lurleen Ladd, and they support Austin female musicians that are over 40 years old. That is their target that they support. I applied for a grant last the early spring, and was a proud recipient of that grant helped the very last leg of this album release, and I another moment of kindness that I did not expect, and they continue to support me through their social media, and I was just on public access television with an interview that Wavemakers had, and two of the grant recipients, me and Astani, actually performed on air.
Well,
Yeah,
thank
so
God.
they are continuing to support us. It's a really great organization.
Thank goodness for organizations like that can lend that helping hand, because it's for people that aren't, I'm not, I'm not in the music business on the side that you are as far as creating music, but I know that it is not a simple task to get an album out there and to actually get people to be aware of it. And it's a big process for people that aren't in this business, so it's very good to have helpful organizations like that.
I really appreciate you listening, Matt.
Oh, listen, it's our pleasure to share your music with our listeners here on KETR as well. And Allison Tucker, while I've got you as our guest here on KETR, I just wanted to mention that we are speaking on a listener-supported radio station. And while I have you with me, I was hoping that we could talk a bit about what public radio means to you, not just as a, someone who releases music, but as a listener, and why you think it's important to the communities that it serves.
I have been a long supporter of public radio. NPR played in my household for years while I raised my children. I believed in their non-biased viewpoint. It was what made me laugh. It was the new songs that I heard, the Sunday morning programs we listened to in the car. I cannot imagine a world without public radio. I cannot imagine a world without independent news. We're just going to, I put out a personal call to everyone that listens. Throw your dollars at public radio. They need it, and show your support. I would put out a request to skip the latte today and send it to KETR.
If you would like to support a station that keeps you in touch with artists that are emerging onto the music scene, such as our guest Allison Tucker, please visit our website, KETR.org, today and pitch in what you can. Allison, you're taking your music on the road, as I understand it. Can you tell me about the Second Chance Tour and maybe kind of how you came up with that title?
Second chance. I feel like I'm living my second chance. I always wanted to be a musician and a performer and a writer, and I'm living my second chance. I actually have just returned from Montana and Idaho. I was a finalist in the Rocky Mountain Songwriting Contest, and I played at the Red Lodge Festival with, my gosh, 19 other fantastic songwriters. I felt like I had won just when I drove up to the festival.
Right.
It was an amazing honor. Amazing honor.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that. So I mean, the tour will continue, I presume.
I am home. I am home right now. I have got a residency gig at a small pub on the UT campus every other Sunday, and I have started building some local gigs that I'm going to do. I mentioned the Texas Women's Songwriting Festival in September, so I'm going to be home for the next, I think, 3 months.
Okay.
3 months, and at the end of October, I'm going to throw a big, huge album release party. So that's when the big party is going to happen.
Okay. Well, I assume that we can probably keep up with your latest information and performance dates online somewhere.
Absolutely. AllisonTucker.com. That's a Allison with only one L.
Right. Yeah, I was going to make sure we pointed that out for the benefit of radio listeners who can't see it on the screen right now. So
yeah, AllisonTucker.com. You can find me on any streaming platform. YouTube videos are coming out. And I'm starting to write for the next album.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like this has really kind of, got the creative juices flowing then and got you back on track with this passion of yours, music, then.
I am going to live the rest of my life in this dream.
It was really great speaking with you.
It's been my pleasure, Matt. Thank you so much.
In case you missed it earlier, let me make sure you've got information on where to find her. Her website is AllisonTucker.com. That's A-L-I-S-O-N, AllisonTucker.com. She performs regularly in her home city of Austin, and she'll be taking her music elsewhere on the road soon, and she's got all the information about her tour dates on her website. And we thank you so much for listening here on KETR. If this is something you appreciate, having an avenue open where you can discover names like Allison Tucker, a place where we can play music by the kind of unsigned, independent, up-and-coming singers and songwriters of the Lone Star State, we need your support to keep it coming. If you're streaming from our website right now, you'll see the red donate button in the upper right-hand corner. Or you can go to KETR.org, find that donate button, make a contribution in any amount that's meaningful for you, and we will turn it into great public radio for Northeast Texas. We'd like to thank CleanFeed for providing the audio connection on today's interview.